title of my sermon today, Famine of the Word, question mark. Famine of the Word, question mark. Texas Congressman Louis Gohmert said that about 9 years ago, during the discussions for passing the hate crimes bill, that the hate speech law could in the future be used to suppress the ministers, the churches, and take away religious freedom. They were worried about the questions about the future ramifications of the laws of what they could, who they could be directed at, especially people who call themselves Christians in this country. Well, now Congressman Gohmert believes that will happen if the Democrats come to power. He believes that freedom of speech, freedom of press, freedom of religion will all be greatly curtailed. And this may happen regardless of which party is elected, because our freedoms come from the great God and are dependent upon our recognition and obedience to God. God allows only so much. So it's dependent upon us. Please go to Amos chapter 7. And you might as well bookmark Amos, because we're going to be jumping all around in Amos. Not going to be real thorough. I'm just going to hit a few things. It'd be good to read this entire book if you have time. But please put a marker here. Amos 7, and let's read verses 7 and 8. Thus he showed me, as capital He, the Lord, behold, the Lord stood on a wall made with a plumb line, with a plumb line in his hand. And the Lord said to me, Amos, what do you see? And I said, a plumb line. Then the Lord said, behold, I am setting a plumb line in the midst of my people Israel. I will not pass by them anymore. Or some translations will say, I will not spare them anymore. Go over to chapter 8, the next page in my Bible, and let's read the first two verses. Amos 8, 1 and 2. Thus the Lord God showed me, behold, a basket of summer fruit. And he said, Amos, what do you see? So I said, a basket of summer fruit. Then the Lord said to me, the end has come upon my people Israel, and I will not pass by them anymore. So God said he would not spare Israel anymore, and he's speaking to this prophet Amos. And we will see how this mirrors our condition today, our relationship to God. Now, the First Amendment that we have in this country, I'm not speaking worldwide here, just the First Amendment guarantees us freedom of religion and freedom of speech. A fellow named Fisher Ames, he's considered the father of public schools in America, because that was one of his goals in life. He was the framer of the First Amendment. And here's a quote from Fisher Ames. And this quote comes from an oration on the sublime virtues of General George Washington, Boston 1800, published Young and Men's. Men's is M-I-N-N-S. And this is the quote. Our liberty depends on our education, our law, and habits. And then he goes on and said, it is founded on morals and religion, whose authority reigns in the heart, and on the influence all of these produce on public opinion governs rulers. And I had to read that several times to actually get all of what he was saying. But notice Fisher Ames says that our liberty, our freedom, is dependent on our education. Wow, has not our education system been dumbed down and corrupted? instructed with false principles. Then he said, our law. Is our judicial system fair and equal for everyone? Then he said, our habits. Our habits. Are they godly habits? And he said, our freedom is founded on morals and religion. Our freedom is dependent on the influence these, education, law, and habits, produce on public opinion, governs our rulers. Notice our lives influence public opinion to keep rulers on the straight and narrow. You know, we look for just the opposite. If you watch what's going on in the political world today, we look for just the opposite. We expect our rulers to be law-abiding, moral, and God-fearing. But that's not what he said, not what Fisher Ames said. But if everyone in America was law-abiding, moral, and God-fearing, would our leaders be corrupt and amoral? No. If you really think about it, we need to set the standard for the rulers. Let's go back to Amos chapter 1. Amos 1 and verse 1. The words of Amos, who was among the sheep breeders of Tekoa, which he saw concerning Israel in the days of Uzziah, king of Judah, and in the days of Jeroboam, and son, the son of Joash, king of Israel, 2 years before the earthquake. Okay, we have a timeline here, and we have a rancher down near the Dead Sea, a sheep herder, Amos, who was turned to a prophet. And he does not prophesy in Judah where he lived down near the Dead Sea, the southern kingdom, but he prophesies in Samaria, the northern kingdom, where the 10 tribes are. And let's notice what he says to this area. Verse 3. Amos 1, verse 3. Thus says the Lord, for 3 transgressions of Damascus, and for 4, I will not turn away its punishment, because they have threshed Gilead with implements of iron. Verse 6. Thus says the Lord, for 3 transgressions of Gaza, and for 4, I will not turn away its punishment, because they took captive the whole captivity, to deliver them up to Edom. Now notice these places. This is the place that's surrounding what we call Israel today. Right now we're reading. It's right near though. It's attached to it, around it. Verse 9. Thus says the Lord, for 3 transgressions of Tyre, and for 4, I will not turn away its punishment, because they delivered up the whole captivity to Edom, and did not remember the covenant of brotherhood. Verse 11. Thus says the Lord, for 3 transgressions of Edom, and for 4, I will not turn away its punishment, because he pursued his brother with a sword, and cast off all pity, his anger tore perpetually, and he kept his wrath forever. Verse 13. Thus says the Lord, for 3 transgressions of the people of Ammon, and for 4, I will not turn away its punishment, because they ripped open the women with child in Gilead, that they might enlarge their territory. Sound familiar? Chapter 2, verse 1. Thus says the Lord, for 3 transgressions of Moab, notice this is, we're almost completing this circle around Israel here. For 3 transgressions of Moab, and for 4, I will not turn away its punishment, because he burned the bones of the king of Edom to lime. Verse 4. Thus says the Lord, for 3 transgressions of Judah, us is getting to God's chosen people here, the Israelites, the southern kingdom of Judah. And for three transgressions of Judah, and for four, I will not turn away its punishment, because they have despised the law of the Lord, and have not kept his commandments. Their lies lead them astray. Lies. Aren't we supposed to believe everything that Judah preaches? Aren't we supposed to believe what they say and do what they say? It says, their lies lead them astray, lies which their fathers followed. Verse 6, thus says the Lord, for three transgressions of Israel, here's completing the whole 12 tribes of Israel. This is the 10 northern tribes. For three transgressions of Israel, and for four, I will not turn away its punishment, because they sell the righteous for silver and the poor for a pair of sandals. Israel, the northern tribe it's talking about. Verse 7, they pant after the dust of the earth which is on the head of the poor, and pervert the way of the humble. A man and his father go into the same girl to defile my holy name. They lie down by every altar on clothes taken in pledge, and drink the wine of the condemned in the house of their God. Notice that's little g. Yet it was I who destroyed the Amorite before them, whose height was like the height of the cedars. Now notice how God, the Lord, saying these were huge people that inhabited this land, and I destroyed them, not you. And he was as strong as the oaks, yet I destroyed his fruit above and his roots beneath. Verse 10, also it was I who brought you up from the land of Egypt and led you 40 years through the wilderness to possess the land of the Amorites. I raised up some of your sons as prophets and some of your young men as Nazarites. Is it not so, O you children of Israel, says the Lord? But you gave the Nazarite wine to drink. The Nazarite had a vow not to drink any strong drink. And he says, but you gave the Nazarites wine to drink and commanded the prophet, saying, do not prophesy. Do not prophesy. This is the famine of the word, and this is the crux of this today. And let's go and read the main verses I want to get to today. Amos chapter 8. Amos 8, and let's read verses 11 and 12. Amos 8, 11 and 12. Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord God, that I will send a famine on the land, not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. They shall wander from sea to sea, and from north to east they shall run to and fro, seeking the word of the Lord, but shall not find it. This is the core of this message today, a famine of the word. But it actually says a famine of hearing the word. Did you notice that? A famine of hearing the word. This we can look at two ways. We just read that God stopped the prophet's voices in Samaria, the northern kingdom. It was just like us today. At the time Amos went up there, what was the northern kingdom like? They were in Samaria. They were rich, fat, unconcerned, lazy, content. They had set up their own temple back in, again, despite and contrary to God's wishes, they had just removed the great God out of it and started their own religion, more or less. But both of us, the northern kingdom and us today, have removed God. We have replaced God, capital G, with gods, little g, the material things. And God only allows so much. Biblical history proves this. So God stopped the prophets. But But Amos found that the people were not hearing anyway. Amos came north to get Israel to repent. That was his real purpose. He came to announce these judgments, but the hope was that they would repent, as always, just like Nineveh and everywhere else that God sends a prophet. There's an opportunity to repent. Did I say that they were exactly like us today? Yes. What? Less than 40 years later, after Amos comes here with these prophecies, they were taken captive. But I just said they were rich and fat and unconcerned, lazy. They were in control. They thought they were in control. And then they were taken captive and as a nation no longer existed, scattered to the winds. A famine of hearing of the word. You know, us married couples can relate to this. My wife says all the time, she goes, "You're not hearing anything I say." And I always answer, "I heard you. You said so and so." She goes, "See, you're not listening, because that's not what I meant." You know, in my ears, I heard sounds. I heard a few words. But recording in my brain of what she actually wanted me to hear and what she actually said, no. You all hear us speak each Sabbath. There's whoever's giving the message on the Sabbath, you all hear us speak, but do you listen? What was last week's sermon? Even if the prophets speak, are we hearing? You see, there's two sides to this famine of the hearing of the word. It has to be delivered, but it also has to be received. Keep your marker here in Amos, and let's go to Romans chapter 10. Shall they call on him, capital him, in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent, as it is written? How beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not obeyed the gospel, for Isaiah says, "Lord, who has believed our report?" So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But I say, have they not heard? Yes, indeed. Their sound has gone out to all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. But I say, did Israel not know? You know, when I read these words, I usually think about all the Bibles that are for years and years, it's basically been the number one selling book, probably more Bibles than any other book in the world. And yet, they're little used, I think, and most of them have dust on them. But it's there. It's available. I mean, verse 19. But I say, did Israel not know? First Moses says, "I will provoke you to jealousy by those who are not a nation. I will move you to anger by a foolish nation." But Isaiah is very bold and says, "I was found by those who did not seek me. I was made manifest to those who did not ask for me." But to Israel, he says, "All day long I have stretched out my hands to a disobedient and contrary people." See, Israel will almost have to be replaced, and if God hadn't promised that they wouldn't be replaced, they would have been replaced. because they've done nothing to deserve this. And what does he say? That Isaiah is very bold. He said, all day long I've stretched out my hands to a disobedient and contrary people. A prophet to him. Israel would not hear. We still do not hear. Romans chapter 1. Romans 1. And let's begin in verse 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. This has to be the Apostle Paul's writing, as you know, to the Romans, because he never ends a sentence. But there, he said so much in one of these verses, it's hard to cover. But he says, the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness, because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man, and birds, and four-footed animals, and creeping things. Therefore God also gave them up to uncleanness in the lust of their hearts, to dishonor their bodies among themselves, who exchanged the truth of God for the lie, and worship and serve the creation rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. So the intellectuals here quit worshiping God and started worshiping idols and the creation. And belief that the creation just happened. Now we know that's a lie. And Paul said they exchanged the truth for the lie. I'm not sure exactly. I've had two different things I've had in mind for all these years about the lie. And but they believe, these intellectuals believe, that the creation just happened. And that our main focus is to protect this creation or we'll go extinct. Evolution and worship of nature. And our goal is to stop global warming, changing of climate. And Amos gave four judgments against Israel, so let's go back to the book of Amos. And let's begin in chapter 5. Four judgments against Israel. And I'm not going to elaborate on these. I'm just going to state them through the scriptures right here. Amos 5, and we'll begin in verse 25. Did you offer me sacrifices and offering in the wilderness 40 years, O house of Israel? You also carried Sukkot, your king. Or this is Molech. So they carried your idol with them. You know, we claim to be a Christian nation, but we worship idols, material idols, and kill unborn babies by the thousands each day. But we're still Israel. Nothing's changed. He said, you carry Molech, your king, and Chion, your idols, the star of your gods, which you made for yourselves. Verse 27. Therefore, I will send you into captivity beyond Damascus, says the Lord, whose name is the God of hosts. The first judgment that Amos prophesied against Israel is to be sent into slavery, captivity. And we say, well, that could never happen to the United States of America. Well, that's exactly what Jeroboam and Israel thought. That can never happen to us. That's what we say today. We're just like they were. Judgment number two. Let's go to Amos chapter 7. Amos chapter 7, beginning in verse 7. Thus he showed me, behold, the Lord stood on a wall made with a plumb line, with a plumb line in his hand. We read this before, but what is he doing? Here it shows the Lord standing on a wall holding a plumb bob. It's a string with a weight tied on the end of it. What a plumb line is. And it's so you can make a wall vertical. Or any building. Or put up a pillar vertical. It's a simple method. Gravity works. It says, behold, the Lord stood on a wall made with a plumb line, with a plumb line in his hand. And the Lord said to me, Amos, what do you see? And I said, a plumb line. Then the Lord said, behold, I am setting a plumb line in the midst of my people Israel. I will not pass by them anymore. The high places of Isaac shall be desolate, and the sanctuaries of Israel shall be laid waste. I will rise with the sword against the house of Jeroboam. So here God will bring our enemies into the land, just as he did the northern kingdom there in Samaria. The sanctuaries of them shall be laid waste. All of the high places they built, torn down. And he brought armies in against them. So the second judgment is desolation by war. And that could very well happen. We just had some WikiLeaks tapes released of the speeches that Hillary Clinton gave to the bankers that we would have no more borders if she was elected, have open borders. Can you imagine the people pouring into this country and what it would do with open borders? Of course, in a couple of years, they'd want to get back out, but can you imagine? Can talk to some of our relatives about what it's like in Venezuela right now. It's terrible. But God will bring it. That's judgment number two. Judgment number three, chapter 8, first three verses. Amos 8, thus the Lord God showed me, behold, a basket of summer fruit. And he said, Amos, what do you see? So I said, a basket of summer fruit. Then the Lord said to me, the end has come upon my people Israel. I will not pass by them anymore. And the songs of the temple shall be wailing in that day, says the Lord God. Many dead bodies everywhere, they shall be thrown out in silence. Did you get that? Judgment number three, death. Many, many, he said. Many, many. Judgment number four, drop down to verse 11. Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord God, that I will send a famine on the land. Not a famine of bread, nor thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. They shall wander from sea to sea, and from north to east, and they shall run to and fro seeking the word of the Lord, but shall not find it. This is so much like the USA, Samaria, and it says they will wander. That means they will stagger around trying to find the truth. It'll be like a drunk person. They'll just be staggering around. He said, but the end has come. God's had enough. He said, I will not pass by them anymore. God only goes so far. And of course, Israel did not hear. They were taken into captivity. All of these judgments came upon them. The USA will not hear. But the question is, will we hear? Will those of us listening today hear? Thessalonians, chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians 2. Let's begin in verse 9. 9 through 12. The coming of the lawless one is according to the workings of Satan, with all power, signs, and lying wonders, and with all unrighteous deception among those who perish, because they did not receive the love of the truth that they might be saved. And for this reason, God will send them strong delusion that they should believe the lie. Didn't we already read about this, the lie? Yes. And that they all may be condemned who did not believe the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. This is Paul speaking to us. This is not Old Testament. But this is exactly what happened to the 10 tribes in Samaria. Let's go back to Amos. Amos chapter 6. And let's begin in verse 3. Woe to you who put far off the day of doom. Wouldn't we all like to do that? We don't like to think that the day of doom is coming upon us in the immediate future. We've got a lot we want to do, and we want to spend time with family and friends and everybody else and enjoy life. But it says, woe to you who put far off the day of doom, who cause the seat of violence to come near, who lie on beds of ivory, stretch out on your couches, eat lambs from the flock and calves from the midst of the stall, who sing idly at the sound of stringed instruments and invent for yourselves musical instruments like David, who drink wine from bowls and anoint yourselves with the best ointments, but are not grieved for the affliction of Joseph. Therefore they shall now go captive as the first of the captives, and those who recline at banquets shall be removed. The Lord has sworn by himself. The Lord God of hosts says, I abhor the pride of Jacob and hate his palaces. Therefore I will deliver up the city and all that is in it. Does that sound like a warning to us also? Amos was warning Israel, Jacob there, Samaria. Does it sound like what will happen in this country? Will we not hear? Or will the government stop our ministers? Chapter 7, let's go to verse 10. Then Amaziah, the priest of Bethel, sent to Jeroboam, king of Israel, saying, Amos has conspired against you in the midst of the house of Israel. The land is not able to bear all his words. Think about that. Will we have the so-called religious establishment conspiring with the government against us? Verse 11, for thus Amos has said, Jeroboam shall die by the sword, and Israel shall surely be led away captive from their own land. Then Amaziah said to Amos, go, you seer, flee to the land of Judah. There eat bread, and there prophesy, but never again prophesy at Bethel, for it is the king's sanctuary, and it is the royal residence. Then Amos answered and said to Amaziah, I was no prophet, nor was I a son of a prophet, but I was a sheep breeder and a tender of sycamore fruit. Now, sycamore fruit is a little fruit that's kind of like, let me finish reading this so we get the whole gist of it. Said, I was a sheep breeder and a tender of sycamore fruit. Then the Lord took me as I followed the flock, and the Lord said to me, go prophesy to my people Israel. You know, our God government will control what is preached, where it is preached. So how does that freedom of speech and freedom of religion? Our government will think it is the supreme authority, but God is supreme. But they don't know God. And Amos answers for God here. Amos answers for God here. And notice verse 14, he said, I was no prophet, nor was I a son of a prophet. Well, I was a sheep herder and tender of sycamore fruit. You know, we better not discount anyone sent from God. Here's a rancher sent from the tribe of Judah down there up to the northern tribe, so that was one strike against him. And then it kind of plays him down and said he picked sycamore fruit. Only the poor people did that, and that's similar to a fig or grape kind of thing, that sweet, watery fruit that only the poor people ate. But we can't assume that Amos was poor. We can't assume that. He might have been a huge rancher down there for all I know. Verse 15, then the Lord took me as I followed the flock, and the Lord said to me, go prophesy to my people Israel. See, the Lord told him to go up there and prophesy to the northern kingdom. Now therefore, hear the Lord. You say, do not prophesy against Israel, and do not spout against the house of Isaac. Therefore, thus says the Lord, your wife shall be a harlot in the city, your sons and daughters shall fall by the sword, your land shall be divided by survey line. You shall die in a defiled land. How can you do that? Only if you're taken captive. And Israel shall surely be led away captive from his own land. You know, the four judgments will be enforced. That's Amos' prophecy. The government outlawed it. You know, he said, get rid of these people. Send him back. Let him go down to the south and preach. They're hurting our country. That's what they'll say, just like they did about Amos. You're hurting our country. You know, the head man lives here in this palace. Go somewhere else and preach. Oh, how they have persecuted worldly ministers for showing our national sins. They've persecuted these TV preachers for showing our national sins. And even more so, it'll be God's people shortly. One example, let's go to Amos chapter 4 and read verse 11. Amos 4, verse 11, it says, I overthrew some of you as God overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah, and you were like a firebrand plucked from the burning. Yet you have not returned to me, says the Lord. Now think about that one scripture right there. Think about New York City, the burning of the financial capital of the world, the World Trade Center, the Twin Towers. Was that not like Sodom and Gomorrah? And did the rest of America repent? No. You have not returned to me, says the Lord. Verse 12, therefore, thus will I do to you, O Israel, because I will do this to you, prepare to meet your God, O Israel. Oh, what a statement. What don't we understand about that statement? Prepare to meet your God. That means it's over with. And it was over with for the 10 tribes in Samaria. Matthew chapter 4. By the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, afterwards he was hungry. And when the tempter came to him, he said, this is Satan the tempter, he said, if you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread. But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Here Jesus quoted Deuteronomy 8:3. How can we live by every word that comes from God if we do not hear them? Pray that it be not cut off, but pray harder that our Bibles are worn and ragged from use. And Jesus explained the parable of the sower. If you're familiar with this, let's go to Luke chapter 8.
King of Babylon, Daniel had a dream and visions of his head while on his bed.
wrote down the dream, telling the main facts. You get that? He just wrote down it telling the main facts. Verse 2, Daniel spoke, saying, I saw in my vision by night, and behold, the four winds of heaven were stirring up the great sea, and four great beasts came up from the sea, each different from the other. You've read this, you understand about these four beasts. Let's drop down to verse 7. And after this, I saw in the night visions, and behold, a fourth beast. He's already described the first three. Dreadful and terrible, exceedingly strong. It had huge iron teeth. It was devouring, breaking in pieces, and trampling the residue with its feet. It was different from all the beasts that were before it, and it had 10 horns. I was considering the horns, and there was another horn, a little one, coming up among them, before whom the three of the first horns were plucked out by the root. And there in this horn were eyes like the eyes of a man, and a mouth speaking pompous words, or great words, it could be translated. Drop down to verse 19. This is the fourth beast we're talking about now. Then I wished to know the truth about the fourth beast, which was different from all the others, exceedingly dreadful, with the teeth of iron, its nails of bronze, which devoured, broke in pieces, and trampled the residue with its feet. And the 10 horns that were on its head, with the other horn, which came up before which three fell, namely, that horn which had eyes and a mouth which spoke pompous words, whose appearance was greater than his fellows. So this beast, this fourth beast, spoke great things. That is great to the world. They were against God. They were great things against God, but that's what the world likes. They were great things. Verse 21. I was watching, and the same horn was making war against the saints and prevailing against them. Have you ever thought about this, brethren? Somebody's got to be those saints that are making war with this. Somebody's got to be them. Verse 22, until the Ancient of Days came, and a judgment was made in favor of the saints of the Most High, and the time came for the saints to possess the kingdom. So here, Daniel is telling you what time that will be. What time that will be. He's giving us a timeline. Thus he said, verse 23, the fourth beast shall be a fourth kingdom on earth, which shall be different from all other kingdoms, and shall devour the whole earth, trample it, and break it in pieces. The 10 horns are 10 kings who shall rise from this kingdom, and another shall rise after them. He shall be different from the first ones, and shall subdue 3 kings. He shall speak pompous words against the Most High, shall persecute the saints of the Most High, and shall intend to change times and law. Then the saints shall be given into his hand for a time and times and half a time. Okay, for that 3.5 year period here. Even the saints will be under this world government. Did you get that? The 10 kings rise from this one world government. It's global. Do you see the nearness of the famine of the hearing of the word? Do you see the nearness of it? Pray that we are not lukewarm. Pray that our leaders repent. Proverbs 14, verse 32. Righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. Boy, both ancient Israel there in Samaria could have used that, and so can we today. Righteousness exalts a nation. Wonder why we're going down? Sin is a reproach to any nation. And one of the two main contenders for our president talking about how bad each other is, how sinful each other are. They're just denoting sins of each other. So, what can we do? But really, they're just a reflection of their people, isn't it? Isn't that what we pointed out today? That if we're moral, they're moral. Sin is a disgrace to any nation. Isaiah 55, verse 6. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. You know, for God will cut off the word. He said he would. He's only going to go far, so far. So let's control what we can control. Seek God now. Let us not cause our own family.